You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Diddy Wise, it's not fair, claiming the sex attack and sex trafficking charges against him are racist. That, as a bombshell, the case against Jay-Z has been dropped. Does that bode well for Sean Combs? Will his case be dropped next? I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
In a shocking twist, a P. Diddy and Jay-Z accuser drops a bombshell lawsuit after accusing the infamous rappers of sexual assault.
Is that the beginning of the domino trail falling? A main charge against Jay-Z has just been dropped with prejudice. But first, in a new defense, Sean Combs, a.k.a. Diddy, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. Puff, a.k.a. Puffy, a.k.a. Love, it goes on, is claiming he is the victim. Not all the women that are claiming he raped them and videoed them being raped in his freak-off videos, but now he is the victim, according to him, Sean Combs, claiming that he is being targeted, that he is being singled out by a racist statute. Listen.
Combs' attorneys argue that the statute has only been used to prosecute people of color, writing that the law has a long and troubling history as a statute with racist origins used to target black men and supposedly protect white women from them. And, quote, what was racist in its inception has often been racist in its operation. They further claim that using escorts is widely accepted in American culture today, and Combs is being prosecuted for conduct that regularly goes unpunished for white men.
Has he lost his mind? To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, renowned psychoanalyst, joining us out of the LA jurisdiction, author of Deal Breaker, and you can see her now on Peacock. Wait, this is completely bass-ackwards. Sean Combs is claiming he's the victim of who? Oh, the government, the big bad government. Explain.
You know, Nancy, haven't you taught your children since the time they were infants, toddlers, to take responsibility when they do something wrong? They hit their sister, they have to say, I'm sorry. It's such a basic part of being human and being in society and being connected and engaged, is that when we do something to hurt other people, we cop to it. We acknowledge it. He is now blaming the victims, blaming the government, blaming everybody else. And this actually makes him look like more of a predator. I don't think this is going to play well in court, Nancy. These jurors are going to want to know that he has some remorse. Otherwise, they're not going to let him out of prison ever, 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 and unleash him on society.
Okay. You know who this is reminding me of, Dr. Bethany? It's reminding me of a guy that you and I have investigated and covered. His name is Stefan Stearns. He is the boyfriend of a mom whose daughter just turned 13. And he, according to prosecutors, has been full on raping her for years in the mother's home. You know what his defense is? She started it. The 9-year-old girl started it. I mean, Dr. Bethany Marshall, instead of attacking the claims against him, he's claiming that he is the victim. Sean Combs is claiming he is the victim of a racist statute. That statute is to stop sex trafficking. So how does he turn into the victim, Dr. Bethany?
You know, it shows lack of respect for the entire judicial system. It shows a lack of perspective and objectivity about how he's coming across to other people. In attacking our government, he's being very unsympathetic to how other people see him. And you know, Nancy, this idea of she made me do it, predators do this. They relegate blame to the victim rather than taking the responsibility themselves. This is the, especially pedophiles, it's their predator playbook. She made me do it. He made me do it. That little girl was so attractive. I just had to take her clothes off and rape her. That woman was drunk at my party, and she was standing there naked with all those mirrors all around. What did she think I was going to do? Never mind that P. Diddy is the one who installed the mirrors.
To Rob Shooter joining me, host of Naughty But Nice podcast and former publicist for Sean Combs. He's the author of The Four-Word Answer. Rob, this is a PR disaster as far as I'm concerned. Of course, I look at things differently by the letter of the law. To turn around and claim Sean Combs is claiming he's the victim. You worked for him. Remember you told me he ordered cheesecake at 3 a.m. and expected some lackey to run out and get it? And they did. That guy is the victim in this scenario?
Yeah, I agree with you. This is a ridiculous response. However, it's not a surprising response, at least to me, having worked with Puffy. Puffy always manages to make himself the center of everything. And he's done that once again here, being the victim. I'm not sure how it's going to play out, but I do know when you've got very few options, when it looks as if you are guilty here, you're going to throw everything at the wall. So I predict if this doesn't stick, we'll hear more crazy explanations. But what we won't hear is that he did it. He won't take any responsibility for this. He's gotten away with this, Nancy, for a really long time. And, you know, he's done things before when I worked with him that I thought was just a bad PR response. And I ultimately turned out to be wrong. He's really, really good at getting attention, of changing the message. He's done it for over 20 years. And so far, Nancy, it's worked out for him.
And joining me right now, in addition to Rob Shooter and Dr. Bethany Marshall, Lynn Shaw is joining us, founder and executive director of Lynn's Warriors, a nonprofit, they do this for free, dedicated to eradicating sex trafficking. Lynn, thank you for being with us. What he is relying on and claiming that he is being singled out, that he is the victim, is the so-called Mann Act. I remember studying it in first year law school, but it was very rarely used. But then quickly, it became the basis for conspiracy prosecutions, such as the one here. So in recent years, say the last 20 years, it's been used frequently. And what the Mann Act is about is to stop the transportation of women across state lines for human sex trafficking. He is claiming, Lynn Shaw, that he is the victim, that the law is racist.
Nancy, let me tell you, right now I am standing in Brooklyn, New York, down the street from the Metropolitan Detention Center. It is taking all my strength to hold back from walking down there to slap some sense into some people. I am here with victims of abuse, of rape. We are seeking safe housing for these people, domestic violence. We are fighting for this. The Mann Act, the way this case will stick, and I have always maintained, is that we have to have the Mann Act enforced, sex trafficking over state lines to make all charges stick. And then we have to go down that hole of minors. I still maintain we're not covering that enough. We're not digging into that enough. But while I stand here knowing down the street that Dirty Diddy is getting three square meals, and I'm standing here with survivors, and we're begging just to have juice and milk and a sandwich once a day covered, is unbelievable. As far as racist with that nonsense, and Rob said it, he's very good at spinning and being at the forefront and gaining attention, and everybody's covering it. But you know what? We're covering the reality, and it's about victims and supporting survivors. And you know what? He can't claim racist because we've got somebody like a Harvey Weinstein sitting in prison, probably dying in prison. So that, just throw that right out the window.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm glad you brought him up, because Combs is arguing he's being singled out because of a racist statute that has been on the books for decades. But now somehow it's all about Diddy. There have been plenty of white guys and white women prosecuted under the Mann Act. Let me just start with a real legal term, jackass, Keith Raniere.
Listen. In their latest filing, Combs' defense writes, "There has never been a similar RICO prosecution. No white person has ever been the target of a remotely similar case." However, Keith Raniere, the founder of personal development club Nexium, that really served as a recruitment tool for the sex cult DOS, was convicted of both sex trafficking and racketeering about 6 years ago. Ghislaine Maxwell was also found guilty of violating the Mann Act even more recently.
When I said that Keith Raniere was, technical legal term, a jackass, not only did he sex traffic women, he actually branded them, you know, with a hot iron. Listen.
I think doing the actual brand in an orderly fashion, each of the seven strokes, having a certain ritualization, each of the strokes has something that's said and maybe repeated after the stroke is done. The person who's being branded should be completely nude. It also, of course, videoing it from different angles or whatever gives collateral. It probably should be a more vulnerable position. Feet being held to the side of the table, hands probably above the head being held, almost like tied down, like a sacrificial whatever. And the person should ask to be branded. Should say, please brand me, it would be an honor, or something like that. An honor I want to wear for the rest of my life.
Okay. Dr. Bethany, help me, please. Did you hear Keith Raniere, the white guy that was prosecuted for sex trafficking? Did you hear him describing the branding process?
Nancy, I don't even know where to begin with that. First of all, he's ritualizing a perversion, right? This is a perversion wanting to brand women. He, you know, please, please, will you brand me? That statement does two things. One is it's a legal defense, right? If he says that, if they say he did it against their will, but secondly, it makes him feel so superior in charge as if he's dominating them. And the cameras from every angle, Nancy, that sounds like P. Diddy. That sounds like that big party room where he put the mirrors on the walls and the floors and the ceilings so he could see from every angle. Also shows two purposes, sexual excitement, and putting the victims in humiliating situations so that you have ammunition against them.
You know, Dr. Bethany, I really don't know how you help patients if you can't speak plainly. When you say see and you do the little quoties, I've been guilty of that. But when you say see from every position, you mean close-up shots of the ladies' vaginas and anuses as they're being raped.
I mean, that's right.
I had to learn that with juries. Right. And I almost stuttered the first time I had to curse and say the P word and the C word and the F word and the blah, blah, blah word when I would be quoting defendants and what they said. I got over it because it doesn't matter. What matters is what happened to these victims. And when I hear Keith Raniere talking about what he did, you're right. The comparisons to what Sean Combs allegedly did to his victims is exactly correct. The videoing them, the having them in a submissive position, an embarrassing position, making them humiliated, making them humiliate themselves, according to Raniere. But he was prosecuted under the same statute that Combs is now whining about. Listen.
With these convictions, Raniere stands convicted of racketeering, sex trafficking, and related crimes. Over the last 7 weeks, this trial has revealed that Raniere, who portrayed himself as a savant and a genius, was in fact a master manipulator, a con man, and the crime boss of a cult-like organization involved in sex trafficking, child pornography, extortion, compelled abortions, branding, degradation, and humiliation. His crimes and the crimes of his co-conspirators ruined marriages, careers, fortunes, and lives.
To Lynn Shaw joining us, out of Manhattan, founder, director Lynn's Warriors, dedicated to eradicating human sex trafficking. Lynn, same thing here. Raniere portrayed himself as a genius, as Diddy portrays himself as a musical genius. That is how they convince victims to go along with them, the way they portray themselves. But now, Combs claiming he is the victim of a racist statute.
You know, Nancy, they always, very cleverly, these exploiters, they just flip the book. They are describing themselves, you know, as these geniuses or these masters of the universe, or they're going to make somebody a star, or they're going to provide them with beautiful clothes and jewelry. Oh, we're going to give you a career. I tell you, when anybody hears that, you run the other way. They are exploiting vulnerable people. All of these men so far we've talked about all have the same traits. They take advantage of vulnerable people. They sell them a bill of goods. They are the ultimate con artists, preying upon victims, preying, brainwashing almost. And you know what? Enough. Not on our watch, not on anybody's watch. Wake up, everybody.
Sean Puffy Combs asked for the court to dismiss federal charges, arguing racist origins, claiming he is unfairly being prosecuted as a black man.
That's right. Although legions of men and women have been prosecuted under the Mann Act, white and black, Combs is now whining, he is the victim of this statute, the Mann Act. To Wendy Patrick, joining me, veteran California prosecutor, president and founder of Black Swan Verdicts, author of multiple books, and star of Today with Dr. Wendy on KCBQ. That typically doesn't work in court when you try to argue to a jury. It isn't fair.
Right, especially when it's a statement that's not only ignorant, but tone deaf. Exploiting vulnerability is a character flaw that really permeates these kinds of cases we've been discussing, all of whom have been prosecuted under the exact same statute, the Mann Act. So to come out and say something just absolutely factually wrong illustrates what my colleagues have, and I'll put it together and say, patterns make the predator with somebody like Sean Combs. It is this pattern of getting away with exploiting vulnerability for years. You gave the example of sending somebody out in the middle of the night for cheesecake, inviting over women and setting up this elaborate stage designed to humiliate and pervert the sex acts that went on there. That's what the testimony is going to be. And then claiming you're being targeted because of demographics instead of because of the deeds that were done. This is the type of thing that is not going to, as our colleague Rob no doubt can predict, is not going to be favorable in the press and not favorable to a jury either.
Yeah, Rob Shooter joining me, PR guru, host of Naughty But Nice podcast and former publicist for Combs, author of The Four-Word Answer. This is not going to hold up in a court of law, but I want to remind you, Rob Shooter, and then I've got a few questions for you about your former client, Sean Combs, that there have been many, many defendants, criminal defendants charged under the Mann Act, men and women. I'm referring specifically to Ghislaine Maxwell. Rob Shooter, why does Diddy think he's so special? All of these people, including Ghislaine Maxwell, were prosecuted under the Mann Act. So is this more of, there she is behind bars right there. So is this more of his delusions of grandeur that somehow he's special and he's being persecuted? Is it a delusions of grandeur or is it a martyr complex?
I think it's a little bit of both here, Nancy. I think the delusions of grandeur, which what we would call delusions, Diddy would call a reality. This is somebody who has made almost $1 billion. This is somebody who has been up to yet really, really successful, believing in their own hype. And so we can't expect, even sitting in a prison cell, for that attitude to change. He thinks he's special. He always has thought he's special. And it's really important for us to remind everybody that this statue has been applied to black, white, male, female, because he's going to cherry pick the evidence here. And don't forget, Nancy, he has a really loud microphone. He's a big star. And there's a certain amount of his base who are going to believe what he is saying. So it's our job to make sure we put that record right.
What is an example, Rob Shooter, of his delusions of grandeur other than ordering cheesecake at 3 a.m. and getting it? I mean, somebody had to wake up, hear his request, go out, get in a car, and drive around to find cheesecake, get it, and bring it back at 3 a.m.
Delusions of grandeur. Many, many other examples I have too with him. He would often turn up at fashion shows that he wasn't invited to in New York City and just sit down on the front row and get this, Nancy. He wasn't kicked out. He got away with it. And so the more you get away with, the more you believe you are bulletproof. I believe Didi thinks he can get away with this, and he will say and do whatever it takes to make that happen.
As it relates to a white female prosecuted under the Mann Act for sex trafficking children, listen.
Maxwell and Epstein worked together to entice these minor victims to travel to Epstein's residences. His residence in New York City, on the Upper East Side, as well as Palm Beach, Florida, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. Some of the acts of abuse also took place in Maxwell's residence in London, England.
Did you hear that, Bill Wolf, joining me, former detective, Fairfax County, Virginia, in charge of Human Trafficking Task Force and author of Eradicating Human Trafficking, A Transformative Approach to Collective Impact? Did you hear all the locations where women and girls, young girls, were trafficked from London, Palm Beach, Manhattan, Santa Fe, even islands overseas, sex trafficked, transporting women and girls for the purpose of illegal sex acts? Same thing here.
Yeah, I can tell you, Nancy, from my experience as a federal task force officer, I've locked up a lot of criminals for trafficking. White, black, male, female, it really doesn't matter. This is a crime that does not discriminate. And, you know, I have to tell you, you know, P. Diddy's not special. These are all excuses that I've heard in so many of the cases that I've worked in, so many interviews with traffickers post-arrest. These are all the same things that we hear over and over, driven by their narcissistic behaviors. So I hate to tell you, but he's not special in these claims. It's what they all say, and it's all nonsense.
Rob Shooter, you worked for him. You were his PR guru. You made him think he's special.
I wouldn't put that entirely on me, Nancy. I did work with him 20 years ago. He was starting out in the business. But even then, Nancy, he believed he was special. And let me just disagree a little bit with your guest. I do believe he is special because he keeps getting away with it. And so until he is held accountable, he's not going to stop. And for 20, 30 years, he's been at the top of the game here in New York, maybe even around the world. And so don't dismiss this. I know it's easy for all of us here to think this is all nonsense. He's really, really good at this. I would not be at all surprised if he doesn't convince people that this is a racist act and he is the victim. That's how good he is.
You know what? You've got a point, Rob Shooter. Sean Diddy Combs is actually moving to have federal charges dismissed, claiming the statute, the black and white letter of the law, the Mann Act, is racist and targeting, of all people, Sean Combs.
The infamous rapper and disgraced music mogul isn't too happy about the federal charges coming his way. P. Diddy claims racism, saying he is being prosecuted for conduct that regularly goes unpunished for white men.
That's right, Sean Combs, you're the victim. Not the dozens and dozens of women that claim you raped them on video after knocking them out with drugs in their drinks. Yeah, it's all about you. Well, let me jog your memory, Sean Combs, about another famous white dude that's now doing hard jail time.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
Don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you.
No, yesterday was a kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing.
I don't want.
Rosine, please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I know, but I promise.
Please sit there. Please, 1 minute.
No, I can't.
Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it.
That is an audio tape of the media mogul Harvey Weinstein forcing a young woman, Batalana, into an undesired sex act. To Dr. Bethany Marshall, I mean, when you hear the way he uses his power, his money, his influence to coerce someone into sex, it's heartbreaking, and nobody believed her. Remember? Not you and I, of course, but no one believed her until someone finally came forward against Weinstein. And then this audio emerged. Do you hear her saying, no, no, no? And he's like, don't embarrass me. All that power and wealth, prestige is used to coerce her. And he also physically coerced her.
In case anybody has a doubt in their mind about what rape is about, this underscores the fact that rape is about power. It's not about sexual excitement. It's primarily about power. He's threatening her, intimidating her, not listening to her, trying to get her to bend to his will. Do you know, Nancy, that prison interviews and research really suggest the fact that both victim and perpetrator alike report little to no sexual pleasure as a part of a rape experience, even the perpetrator. But what they do talk about is contempt towards the victim, which is what we're seeing with Sean Diddy Combs. The other thing is, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. You can't fool all of the people all of the time. In the case of Sean Diddy, he's doing to the government what he tried to do to the victims. The government is not a girl or an underage male escort. The government is a collective who sees right through this. So I'm kind of enjoying him coming up against the public because, or the government, excuse me, because I think that this is going to be his first time that he can't get away with something. It's going to be kind of nice to see. I'm going to get a box of popcorn.
Guys, we are responding to Sean Combs' claim that he is the victim, that he is being unfairly prosecuted, more of his paranoia. He claims that he is being subjected to a racist statute. But there have been many, many white men and women prosecuted for sex trafficking and rape under the Mann Act. Now, I want you to hear more of Harvey Weinstein, the multimillionaire brought down. He's serving 23 years behind bars for this. Listen.
If you embarrass me in this hotel.
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
It's not nice.
Please, I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children, please come in. On everything. I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you touched my breast.
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in. I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's kind of like, it's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I want to leave.
Weinstein, you don't want her to make a big scene, then don't grope her breast. Just a suggestion. You can think about that for the next 23 years. And, of course, it seems like Sean Combs, now being prosecuted for sex trafficking, took a page out of the book of another famous star, Cosby. Listen.
Years of allegations against Bill Cosby were dismissed and accusers were ignored until 2014, when multiple allegations were made against him. Accused by over 60 women, it was the case of Andrea Constan that landed him in jail. Investigated in 2005, Andrea Constan claimed she had become friends with Cosby in her position with the Temple Women's Basketball Program. One evening, after being out drinking with friends, she went to Cosby's home in a suburb of Philadelphia, and after complaining of stress, Cosby gave her 3 blue pills to help her relax. The pills were Benadryl, and Constan became semi-conscious and unable to move.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, same thing. You invite someone over for a seemingly innocent get-together. In Cosby's case, it was always to help the person with their career. And then they would wake up with their clothes all twisted up, feeling like they'd been hit in the head with their vagina hurting. Same thing with allegations against Sean Combs, who's now claiming he is the victim. Same exact thing, Dr. Bethany.
Nancy, it's so fascinating to me as well that it's the exact same offending pattern. It's like as a part of these men's power and sexual fantasies, they work out something that they think is fail-proof. Find a vulnerable woman, maybe someone underage, somebody who is thrilled by your celebrity. Put them in a compromising position so they'll do whatever you want. They'll bend to your will, or they won't even remember what's going on. Take a video so you can threaten them afterwards if they want to go to the police and make them feel like they are the perpetrator, or you have the video for your own sexual pleasure for the rest of your life. It is so classic.
The similarities don't end there between Sean Combs, now claiming he's the victim, to Cosby. As a matter of fact, take a listen to our friend Dr. Phil interviewing a Cosby victim and see how similar the cases are. And Cosby did not complain that he was the victim. He never did say that, but listen.
When I went up to his hotel and I was alone, he talked about, let me see what type of acting skills you have. I want you to improv. And as I tried to do improv, he fixed a drink. And then he brought it to me. It was a brown liquid and it looked like a shot. I told him I didn't drink. He said that this was going to relax me so that the lines would flow out a lot easier. So I did drink it. He made a second drink and had me drink the second drink as well.
From our friends at Dr. Phil.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In bombshell news, a major claim against Jay-Z, the cohort of Sean Combs, has been dropped. Speculation rife that the same thing will happen with Sean Combs' case. And this is what it's all about.
Another shocking revelation in the scandalous Sean Diddy Combs case, now officially including Jay-Z. In a civil lawsuit, Sean Diddy Combs and Jay-Z stand accused of raping a 13-year-old girl at an afterparty for the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards. She is invited to an afterparty by a limo driver who claims to work for Combs. He tells her she fit what Diddy was looking for.
Jane Doe is handed a non-disclosure agreement to sign and a drink she believes is spiked. In minutes, she hears Diddy utter words she can still hear to this day. The plaintiff claims Combs approaches her with a crazed look in his eyes, telling her, "You are ready to party," words she can't forget. She accuses Combs of throwing her toward a wall, causing her to fall. She gets up and stumbles. Combs grabs her and throws her on the bed. Then Jay-Z holds her down and vaginally rapes her while Combs and another A-list celebrity watch.
The after party was held at a residence in New York City. The unnamed Jane Doe is seeking unspecified damages.
In a legal bombshell, that case has not only been dropped, it is dropped, dismissed with prejudice. Now, what that means, let's go straight out to Wendy Patrick, California prosecutor, is that the alleged victim in that case can never revive the charges. Now, we see cases dropped a lot and the state is given more time to build the case and then they can renew those charges. That's when a case is dropped without prejudice. This is a big deal in the legal world that the case against Jay-Z has been dropped with prejudice. He maintained from the get-go he was innocent of that charge. What does it mean, dropped, dismissed, with prejudice?
Well, what it basically means legally, Nancy, is that they're going to be unable to revive those charges. But what it doesn't necessarily mean is that that is going to predict the future of any co-defendants or any colleagues or associates that are involved in the conduct. You know, we see this all the time where you have somebody saying, well, I was charged with something similar to my cohort in crime here, and so his case is gone, mine should be as well without prejudice. It doesn't mean that at all. There's respective levels of liability, and those decisions are made all of the time when you have different people involved in this type of conduct. But you are correct that this is one charge that cannot be revived by anybody due to the nature with which it was dismissed.
And after this case is dropped to Jay-Z's benefit, speculation, legal speculation, that this could mark the beginning of Sean Combs' case being dropped one charge by the next. Jay-Z speaks out.
Sean Diddy Combs also celebrated the withdrawal of the allegations, his attorneys releasing a scathing statement slamming the accuser's attorney, Tony Busby. Quote, "Today's complete dismissal without a settlement by the 1-800 attorney is yet another confirmation that these lawsuits are built on falsehoods, not facts. We have seen case after case filed by individuals hiding behind anonymity pushed forward by an attorney more focused on media headlines than legal merit. Combs is hopeful more of Busby's cases will fall apart, claiming there is no truth to them."
Straight out to CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter Sydney Sumner, Jay-Z stating that this case, this claim against him, cost him $20 million and that it was timed to embarrass his daughter, Blue Ivy, at the Mufasa premiere. What can you tell me?
That's correct. And it's not just $20 million. It's $20 million per year. Jay-Z says that his entertainment company, Roc Nation, lost a contract with a sporting event company and lost several shows over a period of years. That period is unspecified, but he's saying $20 million per year. And the lawsuit was filed just a day before the premiere of his daughter's movie. Blue Ivy voiced Kiara in the new movie, Mufasa, The Lion King. And there were whispers that Disney execs didn't want Jay-Z walking the red carpet with her, which was hugely embarrassing for him.
Straight back out to Dr. Bethany Marshall joining us, a psychoanalyst and author of Deal Breaker. Dr. Bethany, I wonder if it's going to work in reverse. Once Cassie Ventura first spoke out, as we saw in Cosby, Angie Constant was the first one to speak out, and then suddenly there were criminal charges. Cassie Ventura spoke out, and the video of her being beaten in the hotel corridor by Combs was leaked, okay? Then criminal charges immediately followed when the feds really had their noses rubbed in it, and people said, hey, why aren't you doing anything? So I'm wondering if it's going to work in reverse, Dr. Bethany, that now we've got a victim's case, an alleged victim's case. He declared his innocence from the get-go, Jay-Z did. That case has been thrown out. Is it the beginning of a domino effect? There's been a lot of speculation about why the case was thrown out. Was the victim paid off? So how did this suddenly end with prejudice? We don't know. We don't know why it was thrown out. We just know that's a very strong statement from a judge to dismiss a case with prejudice. Is it the beginning of a domino effect?
You know, Nancy, there's something wrong with this story, and I can't quite figure out what it is. Even if the victim was wrong about her dad coming to pick her up and some of the stars she said she saw at the party, that doesn't mean that nothing happened. So why was this dropped with prejudice? I'm just a little disturbed by that. Secondly, the fact that Jay-Z comes out and attacks the attorney and attacks the victims, well, that shows no empathy for the victims or for the judicial system. So right there, that is not a good look at all. He's very self-referential. You know, Nancy, that $20 million a year, that's like a speeding ticket to him. Like what a speeding ticket would be for you and me. And the fact that he's crying about that shows no reality about what it's like for most people in the criminal justice system who have to scrape up money for attorneys or who lose their jobs or can't get a job after they're incarcerated. Jay-Z's only worried about himself. I mean, it's just really, it seems not surprising to me given this, that he's such a good friend of P. Diddy's, because both men seem to be lost in their own worlds with no idea of what's going on in anybody else's life.
In the last hours, Sean Combs whines, he is the victim, that he is the target of a very unfair law. Poor, poor me, wah, I'm being singled out, you're not. Hey, Diddy, you're the one that brought up R. Kelly. Listen.
I met him in 1998 at the Home Alone video shoot. I was an extra, and his cousin told me that he wanted to meet me. I was surprised because I was only 17 years old. He asked me how old I was, and I told him I was 17. His second question was, will your mother let you come to Chicago? I'm assuming he asked that question just to see if I would agree to come. I said, yes, my mother would allow me to come. But of course, I didn't ask her. He put me on the phone with June Brown, which is his assistant to this very day. June sent me the money. They actually told me to get my own ticket and where to go and what hotel to go to once I got there and everything. And then they brought me to him once I got to Chicago.
You are hearing R. Kelly victim Lisa Van Allen describing a sex attack on her by Kelly. You brought it up, Sean Combs, not me. Listen.
He asked me to do a threesome with him. And the way he got me to do it was he told me he had never had one before. And with me thinking that I'm his girlfriend, I felt, you know, kind of obligated to do that for him if he had never had one before and he's a superstar. You know what I mean? I'm like, girls are always throwing themselves at him and he's never had one before, so I'll go ahead and do it, you know, for him. We had the threesome, and after we had it, it just became just something that he always wanted to do. Once we did it more than once, I realized it was a lie, but I was already caught up into it, and I ended up living there with him. You know, he was taking care of me. You know, I didn't have my job anymore at the mall. You know, so it kind of was like I really didn't have a choice.
This is Lisa Van Allen describing being coerced into underage sex with R. Kelly, who's now doing hard time. But there's more.
I know she was 14 because we actually had a threesome with her. At the time, he told me she was 16 years old. I later found out that she was 2 years younger than that. So because we were headed to one of his video shoots, she told me that she was going to be getting a PP Cruiser for her 16th birthday. By me doing the math, you know, of how long ago the first encounter was, it was 2 years prior. And the tape that was on trial, she looked exactly the same, had the same hairstyle, the same, just everything. Everything was exactly the same. It was even in the same room.
So to you, Sean Combs, your claim that you are being unfairly prosecuted under the Mann Act, there have been many before you, and many, many will come after you, prosecuted under the same statute. But once again tonight, according to Sean Combs, it's all about Diddy. Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.